Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
It is a privilege to have you here with us to celebrate Easter Sunday. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been preparing our hearts and our minds for Easter through a series of sermons that I've called People Just Like Us. There are people in this Bible story about Easter that are just like you and me. And I think that we find ourselves in this story. And so here we are. We've been preparing for this for several weeks, and it's Easter Sunday, right? It's also April Fool's Day. This is a very special year. I was doing a little research this week. It's so special. Easter falls on April 1st in 2018, and the next time Easter will fall on April 1st will be 2029. I'll be 29 years old then. April Fool's. Gotcha, Brianna. Now, you know me, the Maplewood folks here know me. I like a good prank. I like a good joke. I like a good practical joke. So I set out this week on the internet to find some tips for the best Easter / April Fool's Day pranks that have been pulled. And I found a couple of them out there. I thought I'd share a couple of them with you this morning. Jason, flip to this next slide. Here's one parent who decided to fill the Easter eggs for the Easter egg hunt with vegetables and with candy wrappers. We had 800 eggs surrounding the church yesterday here, and I could only imagine if the kids opened up the eggs and they found broccoli or cauliflower or beets. Ugh. One mom even went to the end of taking the empty candy wrappers and wrapping broccoli in candy wrappers and putting it in the egg. How cruel. April Fools. This next one, I thought this was pretty good. With the weather in Ohio being the way it is, one parent decided not to color the eggs at all and just hide them in the snow. Cruelty. And this next one is my favorite one of all. The parents had all the kids go into the house. We've done this at my parents' house, and we've all gone through this routine. Stay in the house while we hide the eggs. And they, you know, make the kids wait for 10 or 20 minutes, and then the kids are like just jumping at the bit, wanting to get out the door and run out and find the Easter eggs, and they open the door and they let the kids go out, and they're looking all over the place, and, you know, they're just like looking under here and over there. There are no eggs. It's the ultimate April Fool's joke on Easter. No eggs at the Easter egg hunt. April Fool's! The funny thing, though, is that Easter is no prank. Easter's no prank. Christ is risen from the grave. Amen? He gives hope to people just like you and me. He gives hope to people just like us for life after death. Amen? That's awesome. Christ is alive. He's risen from the dead for you. He's risen from the dead for people just like us. And that's no joke. That's no prank this morning. Over the past few weeks, like I said, we've been focusing on how the death and the resurrection of Jesus happened for all of humanity, but it also happened for each and every one of us personally. It's very easy to come into Easter and to celebrate a holiday like this and make it general and to make it about the world. But Easter is personal. It's for people just like us. So we've been trying to prepare ourselves personally to celebrate the empty tomb. Christ suffering on the cross. We observe that on Good Friday. He did that for you because he loved you. The empty tomb this morning that we celebrate today, the victory over the grave, that's for people just like us too. It's real. It's not just a story. The worst thing we can fear in life is what? Taxes? The worst thing we can fear in life is death. I think it's just a common fear. What happens to us? I think it's a very human thing to ask the question, what happens to you and me when we die? What happens to us? It's natural to fear death because we're not really sure what's on the other side of dying. But the Easter story gives us hope this morning, because Jesus shows us that there is life with Him on the other side of death. There's life with Jesus on the other side of death for those who've personally accepted Jesus as Savior. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've been getting ready for Easter by studying the Easter story in the book of Mark. So if you have your Bible this morning, you might want to turn to Mark chapter 16. If you've got it on your phone or whatever, you can flip it up there to Mark chapter 16. We're going to read Mark chapter 16, verse 1 this morning. This is the Easter story in the Gospel of Mark. It's why we're here today. It's why we're here. When the Sabbath was over, and the Sabbath for the Jewish culture in which this story happened was Saturday. When Saturday was over, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they went and bought spices so that they could go to the tomb and so that they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, on Sunday, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Wow, who's going to roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" Very practical question. But when they looked up and they got there, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, wouldn't that be kind of creepy? Anybody done that before? Just think about that. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He said, "Don't be alarmed." They were alarmed, but he said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified on Friday. But he's risen. He is not here." This story, as we read it, as the words on the page kind of pop off of that screen this morning, this story is full of impossibilities. This story is full of improbabilities. Mary Magdalene and her friends have come to anoint Jesus' body for burial. They had watched with their own two eyes just a few days earlier on Friday as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, two close friends of Jesus, took his dead body down from the cross. And they took his body and they laid his body in the ground. Mary and her friends who are standing here in the tomb on this Sunday morning, it's empty. They had watched them put Jesus' body in this very place just 3 days ago. They saw it with their own two eyes. They watched several men roll this heavy stone in front of the tomb after Jesus' body had been laid in there. And then they watched as the Roman guards posted sentries at the tomb, because the Romans wanted to make sure that nobody messed with the body. They watched this with their own two eyes. And then they left the scene just in grief, utter grief, that Jesus, their friend and their teacher, had been executed before their very eyes. And they went to observe the Sabbath because they were good Jews. They went to observe the Sabbath and to mourn the death of Jesus. But here they are on Sunday morning. The sun is rising. It's kind of a spring morning like this. It was a little chilly outside this morning. But as we got out and got into the car to come to church this morning, the blues and the orange of the sunshine was just creeping in. And I don't think they had airplane contrails in the sky back then. So I think the sky was clear. It was just a crisp spring morning. Aren't you ready for spring? We're all ready for spring. And then they're walking down to the gravesite. The dew's still wet on the ground. They get to the burial site and they get there and the stone is rolled away. But we just saw with our own two eyes that the stone had been put in front of the tomb on Friday. And then they go and they look inside the tomb and it's empty. And there's this young man. He's almost angelic in appearance. Spoiler alert, he was an angel. He's inside the tomb. He's just kind of hanging out there. You know, it's like going up to the drive-thru and you see the person to give you your fries. And he's like there in the tomb. And he says almost matter-of-factly, "Why are you looking for Jesus? He isn't here." The whole scene, you know, if you're Mary and Salome, the whole scene kind of feels like, it kind of feels like a massive prank. Because we just saw with our own two eyes, his body was laid in here, and now we're back, and April Fools, Mary of Magdalene. The joke's on you. Mary and her friends, they don't know what to do. And you know, I think if it happened today, in 2018, they'd be like, okay, is there a camera up there? Or maybe the camera's in this flower. You know, they'd be thinking that somebody was pranking them and it was being tape recorded to be shown on television. You know, we think we got all the that kind of stuff going on in 2018. But does anybody remember, who was it, Alan Funt? You know, the whole thing of the prank on the camera isn't new. And they're like, okay, guys, this isn't funny. Where's Jesus? Mark tells us in his gospel that as they went through this experience and they walked away, they were so freaked out that they didn't say a word to anybody at first. They were afraid to say anything. Has anybody ever been pranked here? You ever? Oh, a lot of us have been pranked. We've all been the victims of practical jokes. Some people don't like to look stupid when they're pranked. And so some of us, and when I say you, some of us don't like to look stupid when we're pranked. So we'll try to make it look like nothing happened at all. I have this guy in my office, and he went on vacation, and a bunch of people in the office just started filling up his cube with balloons. And like every day we'd come in and blow up some balloons, and it got to the point, I wish I had a picture of it, because there's this office cube sitting in this you know, corporate America kind of environment, and it's filled with balloons that are inflated to like the brim, and like the walls of the cube are this high, so it's like 5 feet full of balloons. And everybody's just kind of like, oh man, I can't wait until he gets back to work. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome to see the look on his face when he gets back. And so the following Monday, everybody comes back into work. And this is the way these practical jokes work, right? You do all the work. You fill the office full of balloons, the cubicle full of balloons. And you're just like, this is going to be great. I want to see the look on his face. And everybody goes for the weekend and they forget about the joke. And we all come back in the following Monday. And there's this guy sitting in his office acting like nothing ever happened. He had gotten in there because he knew he could not trust his coworkers. We have a track record. I'll admit, we have a little bit of a track record. He knew we could not be trusted, and he made it intentionally part of his plan to get into work about 2 hours before everybody else did. Because he knew we were going to do something. He didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what we were going to do. But he didn't want to look stupid. And so I don't know how he did it. But he deflated. I could just imagine it. You know, like security's probably like, they're shooting on the 27th floor. But there were 100 plus balloons in this guy's cube. It had to be at least 100, if not more than that. And all of them are gone. There aren't any signs of like balloon debris or anything like that. Everybody walks in and it's just like another day. He wasn't going to give us the benefit of having pranked him. He was not going to look stupid. He actually outsmarted the pranksters, and we all kind of came in and we were in awe. We were like, oh man, yeah, I forgot we did that. What happened? You know, and then it's just kind of like, he just acted like, oh yeah, it was a great time off, blah, 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 blah. So some people don't like to look stupid when they're pranked. And I think that maybe that was happening here with Mary and Salome. They were feeling, who's going to believe us when we tell them that he's not in the tomb anymore? And so they didn't say anything because they felt intimidated. And I think it's fascinating too that like the priests and the Roman guards, right away on Sunday, they started making up stories about what had happened. The cover-up was underway because they didn't want to look stupid. They didn't want to look dumb. So they wanted everyone to think that Jesus' followers had come in and stolen his body. They wanted people to think that it was all just an act, this resurrection from the tomb. I think that cover-up mentality sometimes creeps into our minds, even in this day and age. And folks, let me tell you, on this Easter Sunday in 2018... our biggest temptation is to believe that Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, is a big April Fool's joke. Biggest temptation facing us is to believe that it's just a joke, that it's not real, that it's an April Fool's prank. The enemy of our souls would love to cast doubt in our minds. That it was just a story. It didn't really happen. That Jesus never really came back to life. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he did. There are eyewitness accounts. I posted on our Facebook page a really great video. You want to go out and check it out after church. Really great video by Lee Strobel talking about the factual evidence, the factual historical evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's a former journalist, and he talks a lot about eyewitness accounts. And if you're a historian, eyewitness accounts of something are like gold when it comes to trying to prove the historical veracity of something or the accuracy of something. We have eyewitness accounts of Jesus alive after he was seen dying in front of the whole community. He appeared to Mary. We read that in John chapter 20. He appeared to Mary. And at first she didn't recognize him. We talked about this in Sunday school class this morning. He appeared to Peter and to John. He appeared on Sunday evening of Easter to the entire group of disciples. As a matter of fact, he kind of just walked through the walls. He just kind of appeared through the walls and he appeared to them. He appeared to larger crowds. He appeared to the two fellows on the Emmaus Road. They didn't recognize him at first, but then, oh my gosh, this is Jesus. I think this is an amazing piece of evidence that Jesus rose from the grave. Even the chief priests and the Roman officials acknowledged that the tomb was empty on Easter Sunday. Because we read in the scriptures how they started making up stories. They started to cover up because they didn't know how to explain how Jesus had gone. And like the disciples couldn't have come in and taken him away because the guards were posted at the tomb, two big, strong Roman guards to keep people from doing that. He's alive. He's risen. He is risen indeed, yes. But the enemy of our souls would love to pull the ultimate April Fool's joke on the world and have everyone believe that it really didn't happen. Doubt is one of the enemy's greatest weapons in our hearts and our lives. Doubt is the arch enemy of hope. Doubt is the arch enemy of faith. When we doubt, think about this just practically for a moment. When we doubt, we lose our confidence. When we doubt, we can lose our resolve and we can become wishy-washy. Our footing can become shaky. We can begin slipping away. We'll lose traction. And many times we find ourselves sliding back into our old ways before there was faith and hope in our lives. And I think that the writer of the book of Hebrews in the Bible really kind of was aware of this notion of doubt in our lives. And he addresses it. I love the book of Hebrews because it kind of fills in the blanks about how Jesus' death and resurrection actually saves us. So if you want a good read, read the book of Hebrews at some point. And in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, you can go look it up this afternoon, the Hebrew writer seems to fully anticipate the doubt that we undoubtedly are going to face as people who believe in an empty tomb on Easter. Totally anticipated this whole notion of doubt. In verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10, I think these are really good words for us to read on Easter Sunday morning. The writer says, Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. You need to hang in there. Don't give up. So that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he's promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I'm not going to be pleased with him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. We're those who are believers and we are saved. Amen. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You hear his words today. Don't doubt the truth of Easter. Don't doubt the resurrection. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't shrink back. Believe. Have faith. And be saved. It is by faith we are saved. And this Hebrews writer, he kind of gets this whole thing. I think it's amazing the way that the rest of this letter to the Hebrews kind of plays out, because he goes on in the next chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, and he starts describing the stories of people just like you and just like me. It's kind of like a who's who of the Bible, a hall of fame of faith, if you will. And in Hebrews chapter 11, he starts recounting all these stories of just regular people that we read about in the Bible who have encountered the living God, who believed, and who lived in faith that God would ultimately keep his promises. The enemy would like you and me to think that God's a promise breaker, that he doesn't keep his promises. You're like, well, my life hasn't gone the way I thought it was. God's not being very fair to me. We ask those kind of questions some of the time. The enemy would have us believe that God isn't real. But this Hebrew writer this morning encourages us today to not buy into those lies. In the very next chapter of Hebrews, you can go read it this afternoon. Chapter 12, verse 1, we're told in light of all these people, just like us, who had faith and believed that God was going to keep his promises, the Hebrew writer says, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, there are a ton of people just like us who've gone before us, who've gone through this exercise. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And I think that sin is doubt this morning. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross on Good Friday, scorned its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Jesus. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Easter is for people just like us. They're part of the story. The people that we read about in Hebrews, they're part of the story. People just like us was to have faith in God in spite of their doubts. Doubt's natural. It's just a natural part of being human. And we see these people in the Bible, sometimes they have doubt. Our part of the story, sometimes, is we doubt. Doubt is a natural thing that comes up, and our part is to, in spite of the doubt, to believe and to have faith in Jesus as our Savior. Our biggest temptation is to believe that Easter is a big April Fool's prank. But it's no joke. The tomb was empty. Jesus is alive. And he gives people just like us hope for life after death. That's what Easter's all about. He gives people just like us hope for life after death. He gives people just like us confidence in his resurrection. And he gives people just like us victory over the fear of death. When you're in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be afraid of dying. Isn't that awesome? And you don't have to be afraid when a family member passes who's in Jesus, because you know that you're going to be reunited in heaven with them in eternity someday. Confidence, not doubt. Easter gives us confidence. It gives us confidence. Confidence for people just like you and me. You might be here this morning and you might be asking, wow, how can I have that confidence? How can I have the confidence you're talking about, Pastor? How do I get that? I think it's really easy. You simply have to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ and accept what he did on the cross and through this glorious resurrection from the tomb has done personally for you. That's your part of the story. That's one of the things we've been emphasizing over the past couple of weeks, is that the Easter story is not just a story in the Bible. The Easter story is still happening. Through the people who believe in Jesus Christ, your story is part of the Easter story if you're in Jesus Christ. This story is living and active, and it's still being written by believers today. All you have to do is surrender your heart, your pride, that strong will, surrender that to Jesus. It's easy to do. And basically, you just have to say, I'd like to exchange my dirty, messed up, bad decisions life for a second chance. That's what the simple question is here this morning. I call it the great exchange. I call it the great exchange. My dad told this story to me over Christmas and it killed me. My dad, if you know him, he's a fix-it man. And I'm glad he's not here this morning, because I think he'd punch me if he heard me telling this story. My dad went up to Michigan to my sister's house. My dad's a fix-it man. He's the kind of guy who, you ask dad to come over to fix stuff in your house that you don't know how to fix yourself. And I like got a lot of that kind of stuff. And so Pop will come over and he goes up to my sister's house in Michigan and he's helping her remodel her bathroom. And she's got this toilet in her bathroom and the toilet seat on the toilet needed to be replaced. And my dad gets to looking at it and he's taking it off and he's like, well, this thing isn't that old. And he asked my sister, he's like, where'd you get this? She said, I got it at the hardware store down the road. A notable hardware store, which brand I will not name right now. I got it at this brand name hardware store down the road. He's like, do you still have the packaging for it? And she goes, no. He goes, well, there's a sticker on here that says there's a lifetime warranty on this bad boy. And you got to know my dad. So he kind of cleans this used, dirty toilet seat up. And my dad takes my sister to this well-known hardware store. And they go up to the customer service desk. And here's my pop. He's got this paper sack. And he sets it on the counter and he pulls out this dirty toilet seat. And he goes, hey, this toilet seat bit went bad and there's a sticker on here that says that it has a lifetime warranty on it and I want a new one. And the lady at the counter is just kind of going, slowly backing away. And she's like, where's the cameras? Is this a joke? Am I being pranked? And my dad's like, no, I'm really serious. He's like, this thing's got a lifetime warranty on it. It needs to be replaced and I want a new one. And she's like, sir, if you'll just put that toilet seat back in the bag, we'll get somebody to take you back in the plumbing section and we'll have you pick out a new toilet seat. He's like, okay, get some service around here, you know? So he puts it back in the bag and the lady takes the bag and she's kind of like going, what do I do with this? And Pop goes back into the store and he goes back and they take him back to the section, found the exact same model, because that's what my dad will do. Not just any toilet seat. We need the Toilet DX3000 or whatever it is. Gets the exact same seat and he's all proud because he's like redeeming this warranty. This is awesome. And he walks up to the counter to pay for the toilet seat and the lady's standing there. She sees him coming back and she's like, oh no, not again. And he's like, okay, here we go, I got it. She goes, you're all taken care of, sir. You're all, you can buy. Move along. The weird guy with the toilet seat. And you know, his old toilet seat, I don't know what she did with it, but it was gone. But he took this dirty, used toilet seat and he took it back to the store to exchange it. And I think that transaction, is kind of weird as it sounds, is what happens when we enter into this transaction with Jesus Christ. Jesus, I've got this messed up, nasty life. And if you think a toilet seat's messed up, you ought to look at my heart. Because it's full of all sorts of gunk that needs to be cleansed. I need to be freed from this messiness. And Jesus, I want to exchange this toilet seat of a life that I've been living. I want to exchange it for something new. Because I'm miserable carrying this toilet seat of a life around with me. I want to have hope for life after death. I want to leave behind my life of broken choices and poor decisions and misery because of consequences of bad things that I've done. And I want to enter into this life, Pastor, of confidence that you're talking about today. Confidence for people just like us. That's what Jesus is here for us this morning. This is what he does through the cross and what he does through this celebration of Easter Sunday, through the resurrection. He gives us this opportunity to exchange that rotten, nasty toilet seat of a life for something brand new, for a new chance, a new life in him. That's what happens. And I'm telling you what, Jesus doesn't trade in your dirty toilet seat for a new toilet seat. He gives you awesomeness. He is incredible. A life in Christ is a life full of new life and hope because we no longer live fearing the things we feared before we met Jesus. He's not afraid of anything. He conquered death. He died. He went through all that stuff. He knows what it's like. He can empathize with you and me. He's not afraid of it. He can take it. He wants to give that same type of power and confidence to us when we accept him in our hearts. And we accept what he's done through the cross and through what we're celebrating this morning, through the empty tomb, when we accept that he did it for me personally. Yeah, he died for the whole world, but he died for you. He died for every single one of us. And he's just patiently waiting for us to respond and engage in this great exchange of our old filthy rags for the new clean life that he wants to give us. Do you believe Jesus can clean your life up?
Amen.
He can clean your life up. And sometimes we need to go back for a refresher every once in a while too. We need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. The great exchange. He wants to do it for you today, and that's no joke. That's no April Fool's joke this morning. Jesus loves you. He wants the best for you. He loves you so much, he gives you the freedom to choose on your own whether or not you're going to accept him. He's not going to force anybody into it. He doesn't do that because he understands that in order for this to really work, we've got to choose of our own freedom, our own volition to accept him in our hearts. He wants to do it for you and me, and that is no April Fool's prank.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.